And today's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. But if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts which we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church, first of all, the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
Good morning. So glad you're here today. I'm so glad, as always, to be able to share from God's Word. And remember, everything that we talk about in this place, everything that I will ever preach about, everything that we study in God's Word is based on two basic principles. One is that we are a creation of God and we're meant to be connected spiritually with our Creator. We are not meant to just keep a set of rules. Now, of course, being a person of faith will lead us to be a person of integrity, a person of character. But it's not about just following a set of rules or beliefs or a set of traditions. Our worship and our traditions lead us in that connection. They assist us in that connection. But ultimately, our purpose is to be connected spiritually with God in all that we do. And how do we do that? That's the second thing, is that we do that through prayer, through the study of Scripture, which is God's teaching to us, God's story that is given to us, God's own word to us, through worship, through all the things that we do in our life of faith to connect with God's Spirit. And so we were never meant to go through the motions of a religion. We're always meant to connect with God, and not just on Sunday. That's an important time of worship and of honoring God and of being together in fellowship, but it's not the only time that we are always meant to be in connection spiritually with our Creator. Jesus came to make that possible even in a fallen world. He is God with us. He's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Holy Spirit is with us even now. We don't have to understand that for that to be true. Even if we don't quite comprehend how the Holy Spirit is with us and in us and through us, it's still true. So everything we do as a church, as a people of faith, is based on this connection with God that we live out through prayer, through Scripture, through worship, through the things of our faith. And today we have something very special taught to us in Scripture. As Jesus stood before the congregation, stood before people in the temple, in the Scripture we read earlier today in our call to worship, and Jesus said to them, he read the Scripture from Isaiah that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, and recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and said, "Today, this is fulfilled." That was a jaw-dropping moment. That was a moment that got people's attention. This wasn't just something that was hearkening back to the words of Isaiah. It wasn't just a prophecy anymore. It wasn't just something to look forward to. Jesus said, "This is the day. I am that person that does this. This is now fulfilled right in front of you." And it's so important to see what is fulfilled. It's the anointing of Christ in order to proclaim good news to the poor. And this is not just poor financially. That's true. It is to the poor financially and to assist people that are in need. But there are people that are poor in spirit, that are broken emotionally, that are suffering and on a mental and emotional level. There's a poverty of spirit in people as well. And Jesus addresses not only our financial needs, our physical needs, but our emotional, our mental, our spiritual needs. He says to set the captives, or to freedom for the prisoners. This certainly includes people that are imprisoned physically. There's a lot of things that imprison us. There are addictions in this world, people that are addicted to all manner of things. There are prisons within relationships, abuse that takes place in relationships. There's family dysfunction where people are living miserable existence even within families. There's a lot of things that imprison us in the world. Jesus came to set us free from that. He came to restore sight to the blind. This is not just physical blindness. There's a lot of ignorance. A lot of ignorance of faith, ignorance of spirit. A lot of people trying to make it on their own as if we are smart enough or strong enough in this world, in this fallen world, to make it all by ourselves. We need to be set free. We need to have restoration of our sight, our spiritual sight, through Jesus Christ. He says, he reads these things, he says, "All this is now possible. All this is fulfilled through me." I wonder what people were thinking when he said that. The shock that must have run through the place when these words of Isaiah that they had respected for many years, Jesus said, "This is not just a prophecy. This is reality, and this is reality in me." Now, we are many, many, many centuries away from that moment. And the words that Jesus spoke are still true for us. We can read those words in the past tense and see what Jesus said to the people at that time, but we can also read those words in the present tense and be able to say, "This day, today, among us, this is fulfilled." It is not just to be read in the past tense. It certainly was true then, but it's true now, that the sight is to be given to the blind, the prisoner be set free, the poor to be helped along the way on every level. These words are fulfilled in Jesus, not just then in that moment, but today, this moment, those same words are being fulfilled through Jesus Christ and his body, which is the church, which is us. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that was just read for us, that we are the body of Christ. We are the people of God that fulfill the mission of God in the world today. When Jesus said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your presence, it is through me that this is fulfilled," that continues to be true. And it continues to be true through the body of Christ, which is us. That every one of us is called to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ in our own particular way. And this is where this gets very exciting, and it gets even fun, because God has an amazing way of doing this. He picks out each one of us to have a particular skill, or maybe a few of them, and that's what you get to do. That's what you do in the body of Christ. And it won't be the same as someone else. And sometimes we trip over this. Sometimes we think if we're not the pastor of a church that we're not supposed to be doing the church work as much. Or if we're not on the church council, or if we're not a longtime church goer, if we're a new Christian, whatever it might be, sometimes we think it can't be me. The Apostle Paul says it is. It's all of us. And we all have a particular role to play. And in case that sounds intimidating and we wonder, well, what in the world can I do? What you do, you are uniquely gifted to do. It is something that will be natural for you. It are those things that will come natural to you. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't take work. Okay? Rob's a natural musician, but he also works at it. We all do things that are natural, but it also takes work. It takes practice. But they are things natural to us, just as each part of our body, things come natural. Paul uses this very easy example of the different functions of the different parts of the body. It is very easy for me to move my fingers all around. Not so easy with my hair. Or my ears. They weren't made for that. And if we try to do something that is not us, if we try to do something because we think we're supposed to, or we feel pressured to, then we're not going to be natural in that. Also, sometimes we get the idea that church work is supposed to look a particular way, that we have to do things a certain way. And when we do that, we begin to say to other folks, I'm not so sure that you're part of this body. Jesus says we're all part of the body. And we can't look at someone else and say, I'm not so sure you fit. Jesus said we all fit. We all play our role. We all do the fulfillment of what Jesus fulfills, of helping the poor, the blind, the imprisoned. In every way that we can imagine that is done, on every level, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, we are called, if we boil this down to a simple statement, we are called to make the world a better place. Jesus makes the world a better place. This is a sad, fallen world. There's a lot of trouble in this world. There's a lot of hardship in the world. I don't mean that to sound pessimistic or gloomy. It's just the reality. The world fell into sin. But God would not leave us in that alone. God came after us. Jesus is God with us. The Holy Spirit comes after us and is with us to lead us in the work that Jesus says, this is fulfilled in me. We are called to make the world a better place. Through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people trying to make the world a better place through their own efforts, through their own work, through their own task. Sometimes that can help. It's also how people get burnt out and they get frustrated and they get discouraged because there's so much trouble in the world and what can I do? I'm just one person. What can we do as just a small church? But when we began to see that each one of us plays a critical role, every one of us is part of the body, that each one of us individually are part of the body of Christ, and we play our role to make the world a better place. We, as just one little church, play a role in the work that is in Jesus Christ. And when we do what we're called to do, it becomes natural. It flows through us as the Spirit of God flows through us. And it can be work, and it can be frustrating. It can be a struggle, because everything in this world is a struggle at times. But it becomes a natural flow of the Spirit of God through us. And I, as pastor, can never tell you what you need to do in church. I can't. I'll admit there are times in the past I've wanted to tell some people what they should do, but I can't, because ultimately it is about our connection with God. It's not your connection with me or your connection with this church. It's your connection with God. And the role of a pastor, the role of a church, is to open the doors and to teach and to encourage and for us to pray together and study God's word together and enhance that connection through the study of God's word and the teaching of God's word in this place, that we connect with God and God flows through us to make the world a better place. What I'm praying for is for God to open doors for us as a church and for people to experience the calling, for each one of you to experience the calling God has for you. And we're already seeing some of that. I've met with people, Heather has met with people that say we have opportunities. And if there are people in your church that want to help, we would love to have the help. We're going to have open doors. We're going to have plenty of opportunities. There's going to be lots of ways that we can make the world a better place through Jesus Christ. And so each one of us has to determine, what's my role going to be? What is God calling me to do? And not a sense of dread, like, oh, I guess I'll have to work in church. We don't want that. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for God's connection to be with us, for God's Spirit to be with us and flowing through us through prayer, through the study of Scripture, through worship, through the life of faith, that we begin to see what role we play. What is our calling? What do we do naturally that begins to be part of the body of Christ? Not just this church, the body of Christ himself. And that we begin to fulfill today what Jesus said is fulfilled in him. We get to do that. We get to make the world a better place with Jesus Christ. How many times have we looked at the world, looked at the situation, whether it be here in this city or in this nation or in Europe or even around the world, and think, how can this be so bad? How can it be such a struggle? Why does it have to be so hard in this world? Why do people have to suffer so much? Well, we don't have a good answer to that. It's a fallen world. And there will always be struggles in this world. But I know one reason there is such suffering. One of the reasons is that the body of Christ doesn't always live up to being the body of Christ. The body of Christ doesn't always fulfill what Jesus said is fulfilled in him. The words that Jesus read from that scroll from Isaiah, as he said, "This is fulfilled in me." We don't always fulfill that as the body of Jesus Christ. And not only does the world suffer more because of that, but we miss the opportunity to sense the Spirit of God flowing through us into the world. We can't fix everything. Even Jesus himself didn't fix everything when he was here in this world. The apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, did not fix everything. But they made a difference. They made an impact. And that's what we're called to do. When Jesus says this is fulfilled in me, he's talking about us, because we are his body. We get to make a difference. And so there'll be lots of opportunities. There'll be lots of chances. And so our work here in this place is to pray, to study, to learn, to grow in spirit, so that we are the fulfillment of the body of Christ, that we naturally fulfill, naturally do our part, whatever that is, not determined by someone else, but determined by Christ himself, of how we fulfill that role of what we should be called to do. God has already ordained that. God has already planned that. God has already given each one of us the gifts to do exactly what he wants us to do. I'll tell you something about me. I'm actually very shy. I really am. I'm a very introverted person. When I was a child, I was known as the shy kid. I would never speak. I would never speak in public. I would never talk to people. I've always felt uncomfortable. I've always been very, very introverted. The Czech Republic will probably be very good for me because people are quiet here. And that's how I am. I'm a very quiet, reflective person. I always struggle. Sometimes you'll see me. I may seem a little uncomfortable in crowds sometimes. It's not that I don't want to be there. It's just that I'm very introverted. But from the time I was 6 years old, if you handed me a microphone in front of a crowd, I knew what to do. My whole life, I've known how to do this. I've known how to speak in public. People, my teachers used to be amazed because I was the little kid that would never speak. But if there was a speaking part in class, if there was some way that I was supposed to present, I knew how to do it. I always did. And so people are surprised because I can do this. I can teach classes. I can preach sermons. I sing. I can do a lot of different things in public, but I'm very, very shy because God called me to teach. So he gave me the ability to do it. He gave me the ability to teach. He gave me the ability to preach and to speak, even though my personality is very introverted. And it becomes natural. I've never really been nervous doing this. I get excited, but I've never really been nervous doing this. It comes natural because it was God's idea for me to do this. Whatever is God's idea, it's not a matter of whether you think you can do it. If it's God's idea, he will give you the ability. And it becomes natural for us to do it. And it becomes fun. This is some of the most fun I have, is preaching, teaching the Bible. I love doing these things because it's just what I do. Even though in every other part of my life, I'm very shy and introverted. God doesn't worry about our personality. He doesn't worry about who we are or how much money we have or don't have or might have. He doesn't worry about how much education we have, if we're highly educated or have no education at all. He doesn't worry about that. He looks at us and he wonders if we have a willing heart to be part of the body of Christ. And he'll make us the part he wants us to be. He'll give us naturally the gifts he wants us to have. He doesn't look at any one of us and say, wow, I sure would like for them to help, but they don't really have the ability, so I don't know what to do. God never comes to a place he doesn't know what to do. He gives us the ability. He calls us to his work. And so doors will be open. We know that because there are needs in the world. And Jesus says those needs are met because the anointing of the Father upon Jesus himself. Those needs are met in the world today through the body of Christ, and that's us. And so we need to connect with the Spirit of God. We need to pray every day. We need to study the scriptures. We need to gather in worship and find the ways that God will touch our lives and naturally allow us to be the body of Christ. That will look different for all of us. But together, not only here, but with other Christians in this city and around the world, God brings us together in one spirit. We are all different parts of the body, but we all work in one spirit to make the world a better place. We don't have to look at the world and think, why is it so bad? We, as the body of Christ that is fulfilled in Jesus himself, we can look at the world and say, we get to make that better. That's a really good role to play. And so we pray. We pray together as the body of Christ. And I hope you will pray today and every day of how the Spirit of God can connect in your life. How the Spirit of God will be with you and lead you to making this fallen world a better place. God didn't give up on the world when it fell into sin. He calls us to bring his light to the world. That's something we can pray about every day.